Good morning. It's Tuesday, 15th of December. Our first reading for the day is Job 18 and 19. We're going to focus on chapter 19, reading again from Brother Ralph Lovelock. Chapter 18 contains an attack by Bildad. And now I read. Job cries out bitterly at the attack. They have reproached and broken him with their words. Even if he had been in error, God had already smitten him, and it was surely not necessary thus for them to fight against him and intensify his sufferings. He proceeds to outline item by item that which God has done to him, and concludes with an impassioned plea to his friends, "Have pity on me, have mercy on me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. Why do ye persecute me as God, and are not satisfied with my flesh?" Bildad has coldly assured him that his remembrance shall perish from the earth, and Job yearns for a memorial. Oh, that my words were now written! Oh, that they were inscribed in a book, that with an iron pen and lead they were graven in the rock for ever! Job's faith in the absolute justice of God now combines with his desire for vindication in the future, and although his statement is almost as confused as his thoughts, the following is as accurate a translation as can be made today of verses 25 to 27. "And I know that my Vindicator liveth, and the Eternal will stand forth on the dust. And after my skin is stripped off, did I but see him, without my flesh were I to behold God, he whom I should see would be on my side, and whom my eyes should behold would not be estranged." Job is confident that the Eternal God will stand forth in judgment eventually, and that were his words preserved, and he permitted to see it, he would see himself acquitted by God of all the sins imputed by the three. His confidence that the justice of God is assurance that he must be justified in the end passes into the consequent warning to the three that although he will not live to see it, they will and should beware. Job's experience had taught him that man does not receive in this life blessings in direct proportion to works, yet his assurance that God is just necessitates a judgment at which he will be declared innocent of false accusations, such as the friends now levelled against him. The translation of these phrases is extremely difficult, but the context of hopelessness, both before and after this chapter, is our guarantee that resurrection was a hope born of faith and affliction. This hope, once born in the fires of suffering, would continue to grow thereafter in the tranquillity of blessedness which was to come. But for the moment, it is overwhelmed by the flood of perplexity and affliction almost as soon as it is framed. In some respects, his reasoning is wrong, since there is no injustice in our present affliction, and it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. Nevertheless, his conclusions were correct, and even as Jesus assured Peter of blessings out of sufferings, both in this life and the next, so also Job was related to two judgments. There will come a day when Job will indeed stand before one who is judge, mediator, and vindicator, and will know even as he is known. Even then, however, within a few hours of speaking, that which God was to say out of the cloud would vindicate a repentant Job before his friends, and they were to seek reconciliation to God through his offering. Then, in a more limited sense, his wish to see God stand forth on his behalf was granted, and he confessed, "Now mine eye seeth thee." If nothing else, these verses teach us how to treat people in their suffering, and judgment is not ours to make. Thank you for listening.